Oh, I'm so glad to be with you today. I'm so glad you're here. You know, there will be people around the world at whatever time zone comes up that they will gather just like we have this morning. I noticed next door they meet a little earlier than we do because of the shared pastor there. But how good it is to be a part of people who know the message of a gospel that has no end. And I'm so glad to be with you today. Are you a follower of Christ? Do you have a desire to be a follower of Christ? Were you a follower of Christ a week ago? Yesterday? My concern today is, as we worship and follow the order of service, is that today we want to be a follower of Christ, and even more so, tomorrow I'll be a follower of Christ too, and the days which follow that. That you might gain a testimony even in this hour of worship to rejoice and to know what Jesus Christ means in your life. So we will follow the order of service that's provided. And I extend to you a welcome to this house of worship, and also those of you in your home or your place, and those who will at another time listen or watch the proceedings of this time of worship, that the Spirit would touch you likewise. The testimonies are timeless from the beginning to whatever end there might or might not ever be. The testimonies are the same, and we give praise because of them. And we'll begin our service with two old-time songs and testimonies. These are 100-year-old songs, and we're going to try to sing them in the spirit, a little kind of a lively expression. And so if you will find your way to your tan book, the first song will be in the tan book and the others then in the purple. But we'll begin with two songs. To God be the glory.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, and the glory falls. he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
The testimonies of God's love in the gift of life to mankind in the presence of the life, atonement, and resurrection of his Son, Jesus, is timeless and is the greatest story ever told. It has been made known to every people in every age, even to those living before Jesus' birth on earth.
For because of faith and great anxiety, it truly had been made manifest unto us concerning our people, what things should happen unto them. and we had many revelations, and the spirit of such prophecy. Wherefore, we knew of Christ and his kingdom, which should come. Wherefore, we labored diligently among our people, that we might persuade them to come unto Christ. Wherefore, we would to God that we could persuade all men not to rebel against God, but that all men would believe in Christ, and view his death, and suffer his cross, and bear the shame of the world. For this intent have we written these things, that they may know that we knew of Christ, and we had a hope of his glory many hundred years before his coming. And he shall be called Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and his mother shall be called Mary. And lo, he cometh unto his own, that salvation might come unto the children of men, even through faith on his name. And even after all this, they shall consider him a man, and say that he hath a devil, and shall scourge him, and shall crucify him. And he shall rise on the third day from the dead, and behold, he standeth to judge the world.
Now, when Jesus actually did come to live upon the earth, his contemporary followers were touched by the awareness of the gift of God and his tremendous plan of redemption.
Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you. Then opened he their understanding, and said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him, being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it.
And those believers and adherents to Christ's message who lived after his time also held to the firmness of the testimony of their Savior's gift of atonement.
And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
And because the message of salvation in Christ is timeless to all people of every generation, in every place, even you and I today can have knowledge that Jesus Christ lived, died, and lived again, and will yet minister to the people of the earth in these latter days.
And now, after the many testimonies which have been given of him, this is the testimony, last of all, which we give of him, that he lives, for we saw him even on the right hand of God.
Even this day, this very day, the heavens are open to souls prepared to hear the wondrous revelation of Christ, who's ever near. the Savior of the ages will live with us today if we but try to know him and seek to find his way. Jesus, stand among us in thy risen power.
Our Heavenly Father, we come before thee thankfully now, thankful for that great, indescribable event which we observe here today, here in thy house. We thank thee for that great gift, that continuing gift that so blesses us all of mankind. We thank thee, Father, for each one here, for their attendance, for their support of this service. We thank all those who take part. And, Father, we thank thee for the events of the morning thus far, for the good spirit that has been demonstrated here in thy house up to this point, and which we continue will believe will occur here this morning. So continue with us, Father, we pray, with thy good spirit. We would ask a special blessing upon our brother Val, our shepherd of this particular flock, that he may continue to be inspired by thee, and lifted up, and enabled to bring the ministry here that is appropriate and rewarding to us who are here. So these things we pray, Father, again thankfully and gratefully. In the name of thy Son, Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Very few words need to be spoken as we have opportunity to have an offertory this morning. Neither words of challenge, judgment, or rebuke, but only to say that Jesus gave all. Brother. Dear Heavenly Father, we find happiness to be here to share together in the song, meditation, hearing the music, the written word, and the living testimonies. And we begin to comprehend the meaning of Jesus in the lives of people. and that which lies before us. And so we have happiness and joy and have a sense of giving, wanting to do something because of that. And we know that Jesus gave everything that he had. If it's a pittance or the wealth of a millionaire that we offer today, we are grateful in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. If you were here Wednesday evening, you heard Brother Steve mention that sometimes things happen by accident, and sometimes they're on purpose. What we celebrate today, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, was no accident. It was supremely on purpose. I'd like to take just a little time to maybe give a kind of an overall picture here of what we're dealing with the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. If you have your scriptures, you might turn in them to the third chapter of the book of Genesis. And here we have an account given of discussion up in the heavenly realms and a decision made. Beginning with verse 1, "And I, the Lord God, spake unto Moses, saying, That Satan, whom thou hast commanded in the name of mine only begotten, is the same which was from the beginning. And he came before me, saying, Behold, I send me, I will be thy son, and I will redeem all mankind, that one soul shall not be lost. And surely I will do it. Wherefore give me thine honor. But behold, my beloved son, which was my beloved and chosen from the beginning, said unto me, Father, thy will be done. And the glory be thine forever. Wherefore, because that Satan rebelled against me and sought to destroy the agency of man which I, the Lord God, had given him, and also that I should give unto him mine own power, by the power of mine only begotten, I caused that he should be cast down, and he became Satan." In this account, there were two standing before the Father. And Satan had three problems. God had three problems with Satan, I guess would be a better way to say it. He says, first of all, Satan rebelled against me. And when you read this, it's not fully apparent as to what he meant by that. But in the heavenly realm, God's will is known. But he wanted something that was not his. And so he was trying to devise a way in which he might achieve his goal rather than God's. And so he knew that the plan was to save all mankind. And he hatched the plan. And he told the Father, he says, I'll go down there, I'll save all those poor souls. I won't lose a one. And he thought that if he could convince God that by not losing a single of his creation, that he might buy in. But that was coming out in open rebellion to God, because first of all, God wanted his will to be done, not Satan's. And in Satan's way of dealing with mankind, he would compel us. In fact, we would not have a choice. We would yield. We would submit. And if God wanted a bunch of robots, that's what he would have created. But he wanted us to come to him and love him and do his will because we wanted to. And so first of all, Satan rebelled and came up with his own idea. Second of all, he sought to destroy the agency of man. And third, he wanted God's honor and glory. And that wasn't going to happen. Because God is God, and there is none beside him. And he does not yield that honor and power to anyone else, because it's his. And so we find that this played out In the scriptures, there are two accounts that I'm aware of where sons came before the Father to ask permission to specific missions. The first is in, that we will talk about, is found in the Book of Mormon, chapter 12, the Book of Mosiah. And here, the four sons of Mosiah, King Mosiah, he was the king of the land. His four sons had been converted, and they wanted to go and try to convert the Lamanites. And so they went to their father, and they said, we want to go, we want to try to get some sort of a relationship with the Lamanites. And maybe they will become friendly to us. And maybe we can help to save some of their souls. So you find that account in the 12th chapter. And it says in verse 9, and it came to pass that they did plead with their father many days that they might go up to the land of Nephi. Now, what was Mosiah's hesitation with this? They talked with him, they pleaded with him for many days. The problem was that King Mosiah knew what happened to those that went over and tried to convert the Lamanites. The Lamanites killed them. And he was not interested in losing all four of his sons. But they had a good argument. And it came to pass that they did plead with their father many days that they might go up to the land of Nephi. And King Mosiah went and inquired of the Lord if he should let his sons go up among the Lamanites to preach the word. And the Lord said unto Mosiah, let them go up. For many shall believe on their words, and they shall have eternal life. And then this was his concern, and the Lord addressed it. And I will deliver thy sons out of the hands of the Lamanites. And so both parties got what they wanted. The sons got to go and preach, and many souls, and as we read the account, thousands of souls were saved. And King Mosiah was able to keep his sons alive. And in the account that we read in the book of Genesis, it sounds very generic in this discourse between God the Father and the Son and Satan. When he says, the Lord says, I will go, I will be your son. But we find greater understanding when we look at section 36, gives us a little bit more. You know, I love that the scriptures give us context, but many times it's not a lot. I shared in the class this morning about how when Christ came upon the widow woman that was coming out of the city and they were burying her son that had passed away and they were going to bury him, that there's very little in the account given. But if you take the information given, it really sheds new light. All we knew was that she was a widow woman and that he was her only son. But that was enough. And Christ had compassion on her. And so he brought her son back to life. In the book of Doctrine and Covenants, section 36, we read this. And this is Enoch's experience that he was having. The Lord was showing him all mankind. And he says in 7G, wherefore should not the heavens weep, seeing these shall suffer? Speaking of those that were in the days of Noah, and that the flood was going to come. But behold, these which your eyes are upon shall perish in the floods. And behold, I will shut them up, a prison have I prepared for them. And that which I have chosen has pleaded before my face, wherefore he suffers for their sins. Again, a son pleading before his father, let me go. But God didn't want to lose his son. When we find Christ in the garden, he was praying. And I think about how discouraging it would be to be in Christ's shoes. His disciples, who he had been with for 3 years, just really didn't get it. And Christ tried to tell them, and he said, you know, I'm going to be delivered up, and I'm going to be crucified, but I'll come, I will be raised again, and I will come back. And they just, it just went right past them. And so Christ was, he was struggling. And so he, in the book of John, chapter 12, verse 27, he says, what shall I say, Father? Save me from this hour? But for this cause came I unto this hour. It was for this very purpose that I am here. How can I say, save me from it? But just as, again, in the class we talked about how Christ was human and he suffered the pain and the anguish of soul that each of us do. So in the book of Luke, chapter 22, we find these words. Beginning with verse 40. And when he was at that place, the Mount of Olives, he said unto them, his disciples, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. I find that interesting because the next verse is where it really gets interesting. But first an angel came and appeared to him, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood falling down on the ground. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping, for they were filled with sorrow. Here Christ knew that he was going to be going to the cross. He was going to be offering his life. And he asked the three closest disciples to him to just spend an hour with him praying. And when Christ went off to pray, he came back three times. And for three times, they slept. I would find that very discouraging. Now, what is significant about this, I think, is that Christ was aware of what lay ahead of him. He really understood the gravity of the situation. Have you ever thought about the price that Christ really gave? I mean, yes, he was crucified, he was scourged, he was mocked, he was spit upon, all these things. But in the big picture, there was something else. Before, Christ was in the presence of God the Father. And what do we know? That God cannot allow the least degree of sin in his presence. And so when Christ came before him and pled to be able to come down and to show man the way, to pay the price for their sins, to take away and to pay that debt, it meant something very personal to Christ. Because if he failed, what were the consequences? Mankind would still be lost. But Christ would be lost also. he would have become just as we are. And so he knew when he was praying in the garden and he was sweating great drops of blood that it wasn't just for us. It was for his own salvation. He had willingly put himself in the position of being lost eternally. For us. For each of us. What wondrous, wondrous love. He didn't have to come down. But he wanted to. Section 18 of the Doctrine and Covenants. We read this account of that situation. Section 18:2H. For behold, I, God, have suffered these things for all, that they might not suffer, if they would repent. But if they would not repent, they must suffer even as I. Which suffering caused myself, even God, the greatest of all, to tremble because of pain, and to bleed at every pore, and to suffer both body and spirit. And would that I might not drink the bitter cup, and shrink. Nevertheless, glory be to the Father, and I partook and finished my preparations unto the children of men. You see, that's the price that he paid. That's why it's so significant to us, or it should be, that he was willing to do that when we gave no thought about that at all. And we treat so lightly the gift that he offers. And all he asks from us is that we be willing to repent of our sins and to follow him. To submit ourselves to the will of the Father, even as he did. It was no accident that Christ went to the cross. It was very much on purpose. I read in the book of Revelation an account, and I'd like to share it with you this morning. Because it gives a clearer representation. It gives it from a celestial viewpoint, the price that Christ paid. And here in chapter 5 of the book of Revelation, the revelator John says this, "And I saw in the right hand of him that sits on the throne a book written within and on the back side sealed with seven seals." God was holding a book. It was written in. It had seven seals on the back. And I saw a strong angel. Isn't that interesting? I saw a strong angel. It wasn't just any angel. This guy was, he was big. He was buff. I saw a strong angel and heard him proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and loose the seals thereof?" And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. It wasn't just looking at the book. It wasn't just whether you could open the book. You couldn't even look at the book. None were worthy even to do that. And I wept much, speaking of John, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, "Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne of the four beasts and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having 12 horns and 12 eyes, which are the 12 servants of God, sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. I'm just wondering, did John recognize himself in that situation? It says that it was this lamb as it had been slain, having 12 horns and 12 eyes, which were the 12 servants of God sent forth into all the world. He was one of those. Just a curiosity on my part. Did he recognize himself? And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. Those prayers that you offer, they don't just go up into the stratosphere and, you know, they're just lost. They're kept. Golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. All of the hosts of heaven. Hast redeemed us to God. Not just redeemed us to anything, but to God. By thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign upon the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the angels and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands and thousands. That's a lot of heavenly hosts. Saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. King of kings and Lord of lords. And every creature, this ought to make Anita happy, all of her animals that she has had and loved. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea. And all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor. Excuse me. And glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that lived forever and ever. The price that Christ paid was for all mankind. And on this day, we celebrate that resurrection. And so let us go from this place with this firm understanding that he is not here. He has arisen. May the Lord bless us in all that we seek to do on his behalf.
Thank you.
Crown him with many crowns. Father, how many crowns are there? Since the dawn of time, there have been literally thousands of kings who, in the arrogance of their humanness, felt they were above reproach. And if we could gather every crown and take all the jewels on those crowns, Father, and lay them at thy feet, they would be like dust compared to your power and your glory, because you are the King of Kings. And mankind, Father, is only starting to get a glimpse of your majesty and your power. Many times, Lord, we feel like we know more than we think we do. Sometimes we feel like we are worthy when you are the only one that is worthy. Sometimes we feel like we love and have kindness and mercy, failing sometimes to recognize that that all comes from you, that every good thing in our lives is a gift that none of us has earned. Father, you have endured all, you have given all, you have sacrificed all, that we could stand here and bow before you and have hope, to have a heart that is full of trust and desire and a willingness to do the things that you have called us to do. But as you know, Lord, we are weak, we stumble, we miss opportunities. We allow ourselves to say and even think things, Father, that are displeasing in thy sight. And yet you open your arms to us and you bid us to come to you, to take our eyes off of the things of this world and lift our eyes up to the heavens above and get a glimpse of what you have for us. Father, we don't have the words to say what needs to be said to your honor and glory. And so we bow before you, Father, acknowledging our weaknesses and our sins, and petitioning you, Father, for continued mercy and guidance. And Father, we need to do that every day.
not just on the special days of the year when we celebrate these special occasions. Today being a celebration of one of the most wondrous events that can only be eclipsed by the next time your Son returns. So, Father, help us to continue to be humble and bow before you. And help us to continue to recognize that humility includes knowing that we are nothing in and of ourselves. And that we can be elevated only by keeping your word and living your word. Reaching out to those who don't believe because they are also your children. And you love them as well. So, Father, as we leave this celebration, may we vow within our hearts to be different, to reach out, to have a loving countenance to all we come in contact with, to bite our tongues before we say something that might be unkind or critical. Help us, Father, as much as we're humanly possible, to become more like your Son Jesus and less like ourselves, is our prayer in his holy name. To you, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.